So I've got two readings for us this morning. The first one is Revelation 7, and it is verses 9 to 17. So Revelation 7, verses 9 to 17. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing round the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honour and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they? And where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they thirst. Never again will they hunger. The sun will not bear upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the centre of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye."
As Psalm 23.
You might have guessed that from our song choices today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thanks be to God for his holy word. So, my son grew up wanting to be a farmer. And from when he was about 30, I actually think it was younger, but I'm going to say 13 because I know working before you're 13 is actually against the law. So he was 13 and he got himself a wee weekend job to save up for his farm. And this was that he actually did do work on a farm, and he also would go out with a friend of ours who had carriages and horses, and we do the weddings with them. So this was his thing, and he had this goal that he was going to have a farm. And as soon as he had enough money, he started to invest and build up a wee flock of sheep, because he'd got in tow with an elderly lady farmer, and she was very encouraging, and she was letting him use a field. Now, can I say, more often than not, I was roped in to give him a hand with the sheep. So, friends, my animal experience does not just involve horses, dogs, and cats. No, over the years, I have been working with sheep and chickens and quail too. So one time, quite early on, he had acquired 10 more sheep. You know, so from his wee flock that he started, he had managed to get another 10 more sheep. But before he could introduce them to the existing flock, he had to first worm them and give them a wee health check and to see if they actually had teeth, because they were quite old sheep, and that their feet were free of disease. So he asked me and his girlfriend to give him a hand. Now, to do all this meant that we first had to get them into a pen. But the field was huge, and the sheep were scattered all over the place. And Michael then let us in on the fact that some of the sheep were just off the hills and had minimal human contact. Okay then. So we first set up the pen at the bottom corner of the field. And as this was, this was before we got our dogs, Michael gave us instructions on how we were going to round them up. So we weren't just going to run at them, okay? We were going to spread out into a half moon shape, and we were going to, walk towards them. And initially, it seemed to work, yes. And as we walked, the sheep gathered together, and they were kind of funneling, towards the pen area. And I was like, yes, this is going to be easy. I must have the touch, But no, friends, no. There was one wee white sheep, and she decided that she was having absolutely none of it. And she just took off in the opposite direction, taking all her pals with her. And as they took off, we were all trying to run after them. We were all like diving in the ground to try and all this way and that way. Oh, to try and let them not get past us, but to no avail. And this happened not once, not twice, but three times. And it was the same wee wild sheep that kept breaking away, running off and leading the others in the opposite direction. We were absolutely exhausted, but we couldn't give up because we needed to worm them, we needed to check them over, in order to protect them and the existing flock. So we couldn't just leave them. And even though I was exhausted, I wasn't angry or cross as I realised that this wee white sheep, that kept breaking away and running off, she was frightened. She was worried. She didn't know that she could trust us. She was just trying to protect herself and her friends. So we regrouped. We decided to move the pen that we had made to the top of the field, as we noticed that when they were running off, they were running in that direction. And then we spread out and we started the roundup again. And this time Michael had us come in closer to the sheep, and as we neared the pen, he got us to come closer together as a unit. And the closer to the pen we got, the more patient we had to be. We had to move slowly and as a unit, for if we moved too fast, we were going to spook the sheep and they would scatter again. So we were channeling our inner sheep dogs. And our patience and teamwork paid off as the sheep finally, praise the Lord, went into the pen, even the wee wild one. And after they were wormed and checked over, we rewarded them with some food, and I advised Michael that the next investment should maybe be a sheepdog. And then we got not one, but two. But he said it wouldn't be like that every time, because it's more that the more the sheep were handled and fed, and they would see him, the more that they would trust him, and know that he didn't mean them any harm. That they will know that he is there to care and protect for them and to lead them to safety. Now, I make light of this, but this roundup has been in my head, came into my head this week,
when I was reflecting on your scripture passages this week, especially verses 1 to 4 of Psalm 23. And actually, the Revelation passage made me think of Psalm 23, and then I thought, that's going to be the focus this week. No, because I was thinking, like, us humans are so like that wee wild sheep, aren't we, that was wild and kept running away. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This psalm is so powerful, so comforting. But sometimes we can hear something so many times that it can lose its power. It can lose its meaning. And in today's world of technology, city living, the imagery of the shepherd is alien to many of us. For shepherding is just looking after sheep, isn't it? No. But a lot of skill and effort is needed to be a competent shepherd. The psalmist King David had been a shepherd himself. He knew that the experience of the sheep very much depended on who was the shepherd, who was that. And if the shepherd was attentive, patient, and dedicated, then the sheep would be protected, well fed, and healthy. But if the shepherd was lazy, well, the sheep would starve, have disease, and face danger. The New Testament calls Jesus the Good Shepherd in John 10, verse 11, the Great Shepherd, Hebrews 13, 20, and the Chief Shepherd, 1 Peter 5, verse 4, and in verse 17 of Revelation 7 that we heard today, it says, for the Lamb at the centre of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And in verse 15 to 16, John writes, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. All echoing Psalm 23. Jesus is the ultimate shepherd and caretaker of his flock, providing nourishment, guidance, and protection. As the Lord Jesus is the Good Shepherd, so then we are his sheep, not wayward, frightened, or passive animals, but obedient disciples, wise enough to follow the one who will lead us in the right path, the right places, and in the right ways. Well, that's the ideal, isn't it? But that means trusting, which can be easier said than done. Dallas Willard, in his book Life Without Lack, says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, I'm in the care of someone else. I'm not the one in charge. I've taken my kingdom and surrendered it to the kingdom of God. I am living the with God life. The Lord is my shepherd. And what falls from that? I shall not want. That's the natural result. I shall not lack anything. Wow, that's really amazing, isn't it? I shall not lack anything. But here's a catch. I'm in the care of someone else. I'm not the one in charge. And that's where we have the problem. For how many times, like the wee wild sheep, have we thought that we knew best and ran off to do our own thing? How many times have we thought that we knew better but ended up getting hurt? In our youth, it was thinking that we knew better than our parents or teachers. In adulthood, it is thinking we know better, perhaps, than our spouse or boss or colleagues or friends. Even God at times.
And even though we are Christian, how often do we disregard our Lord's teaching and go and do what we think's best, or make a decision without praying about it, and then ending up hurt when the outcome isn't good or isn't what we expected? In the culture we live in today, we are bombarded with the message that the more we have, you know, the happier and more successful we will be. And, you know, it's all about individuality as well. Instead of thinking about God's purpose for our lives, we often end up buying into the consumer message promoted by the world and the media, and be left feeling dissatisfied and inadequate because we don't have the possessions or been on that holiday or have that big house or that phone or the new car or the dream job or you know, not got what all, you know, Jamie next door's got or the life that, you know, Mary shows on social media. You know, it's we feel that, you know, we have to take part and do that, you know, in that experience. And then there are times in our lives when, you know, worry just overwhelms us. You know, sadness can overwhelm us. And instead of trusting the Lord, giving our problems to Him, we instead try to rely on our own efforts to solve them. And in times of trial, grief and pain, we can, in our anger and our despair, flee from our Father God instead of turning to Him like a child turning to a parent for comfort and strength. But it doesn't have to be that way, for the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Only sheep who have full bellies and feel safe will lie down in a field full of grass. And only sheep who aren't thirsty will walk beside still water. Our good shepherd Jesus feeds us with all the spiritual nourishment that we need. In John 37 verse 5, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And in John 4 verses 13 to 14, Jesus told the Samaritan woman that He was the water of life, that whoever drinks from the water that I shall give him will never thirst. He restores my soul. Sometimes sheep get injured or they wander off and they get lost. An attentive shepherd will care for the injured animal until it gets back on its feet, and he will go and find the sheep who find themselves lost. Been many a time that Matt Michael's been called to go and find sheep that have wandered down the road and through the fence, and oh yes, at all hours, and you know, been there whenever, you know, a wee sheep's maybe hurt itself. And just like the sheep, we lose our way too. We stumble and we fall into sin, which can leave us broken and bruised. But our good shepherd Jesus patiently searches for us. He finds us. And He heals us of our brokenness. For He knew that His Father in heaven loved humanity so much, but that our sin kept us separated from God. And because Jesus loved His Father, and because He loved us so very much, He endured the agonies of the cross, so that we are reconciled to our Father God. We are friends. The blood He shed on the cross washes us clean of sin, granting us eternal life with our Father God. As the song says, there is power in the blood. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. If sheep are left to themselves, they'll graze the same hill until they turn it to a wasteland. They need a shepherd who will lead them to good grazing areas. Just like the sheep left to themselves, us humans, without proper guidance, will gorge ourselves on all the world has to offer, good and bad, meaning we end up, you know, maybe spiritually dry, spiritually sick. But our good shepherd Jesus leads us on a path that both nourishes and grows us spiritually. Jesus restores our soul, giving us salvation when he died on the cross. But that isn't the end for us, as we're still undergoing the process of sanctification. And so by following Christ's example, we will be able to keep to the path of righteousness. And that's why it's so important that we've got brothers and sisters, you know, in Christ that hold us accountable, that we can trust, that we can talk to, we can share. You know, that we tap into, you know, our Father God daily, that we're talking to him in prayer, you know, that we're reading our Bibles every day. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When a shepherd is out in the fields and his sheep with the sheep, it's his job to protect them from danger. He will risk his own life to keep them safe. Back in David's day, the shepherd carried a rod to ward off the predators and to keep discipline within the flock. And I think we can romanticise the shepherd, but shepherds had to be tough. You know, they had to be fearless. You know, they were a wee bit rough, some of them. And the shepherd's staff, you know, it was used to guide the sheep and to keep them on the right path, especially on the steep hills or narrow ledges, or to pull them out of trouble. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There are going to be times of trouble for all of us, valleys of darkness that we have to pass through. And for some of us, this life will have, you know, many dark valleys to travel through. For others, maybe not so deep. But no matter what the danger of our journey, our Lord is there to comfort us. We don't need to fear any evil. The Lord blesses us. For God is with us, and he is most clearly and fully present to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, who lived this human existence, who experienced sorrow and pain, and whose death on the cross and resurrection gifts us eternal life with the Father in heaven. In John's Revelation 7, verses 9 to 17, all those who are faithful to death are before God's throne, worshipping night and day, worshipping the Lamb. The slaughtered Lamb, who is also the Lord Jesus, the shepherd who leads to life. This divine throne room is eternal in heaven, but yet to come on earth. The Lord wants to be your shepherd. He wants to bless us. He wants to care for us, but to enjoy that full relationship with him, we have to surrender to him. We have to put our full trust in him. So how can we get to that point where we trust the good shepherd completely, so that we follow wherever he leads us? Lynn Austin says in her book, Candle in the Darkness, faith don't come in a bushel basket. It comes one step at a time. Decide to trust him for one little thing today, and before you know it, you find out he's so trustworthy, you'll be putting your whole life in his hands. So what can we do? Now, I know that there are some of you finding it difficult to trust. And my advice is to take time every day to reflect on the ways that God has worked in your life, how God has provided for you, guided you. It might not be big or shiny,
It might be really small, but no matter what it is, take the time to treasure it and to thank him for what he has done for you. And as your trust grows, give him your worries, give him your troubles. Ask and allow him to be your source of strength. Read your Bible daily. Talk to the Lord daily in prayer. Reach out to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And as you grow and deepen your trust in the Lord, trust him with all the decisions in your life, in the decisions of your family, in your career, in your finances, within your relationships, even what TV shows to watch. You know, for it's only when we fully trust the Lord in every aspect of our life that we can confidently lie down in the green pasture and brave the dark valleys. The Lord is my shepherd, and what a comfort that is. And for others, I know that you have, you know, put your whole life in your hands. You know, in his hands. You have, like, taken that leap of faith. You are doing that. And so my advice to you, friends, is never to become complacent. And to continue to thank the Lord for each of, you know, all the little blessings that he brings to you each day. Let us pray, friends. Lamb of God, we thank you for your loving sacrifice. Thank you for washing us clean, for putting purpose, light, and colour into our dark, empty lives. Thank you for persevering with us, for your never-ending provision of wisdom and strength that helps guide us through all life's circumstances. To you be thanks and praise. Amen.